And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Spiritual nutrition. Jesus feeds us the bread of life, and he himself is the bread of life. As this passage unfolds, we will be talking a little more about that part of it next week. In this passage here, we have two miraculous events to be considering, and that will be interpreted by Christ himself and then by the church down through the ages from that day to this. And one is the world's largest potluck supper, when they took all the food that was brought and divided it up, and everybody had all that they wanted, and there was still plenty left over. And we have seen that in our experiences with potluck meals too, haven't we? Somehow the Lord tends to multiply out whatever is given to him. And that has then spiritual lesson also. Every time when I receive this offering from the congregation and I take it to the table of the Lord and to the altar, then I lift it up and I pray, Lord, multiply these gifts for the upbuilding of your kingdom. That's my prayer as I take that every Sunday. And it has that implication all the way through our whole existence. And then it has that also through even what we study together. We study the Word of God, and hopefully then that multiplies and comes back to us in many different ways through the week, just like in the Sunday school classes. They study the Word of God, and then hopefully it keeps something that we take home and think about through the week and keep feeding on that and nurturing through that. The other miracle is where Jesus then is walking on the water after this. He's walking on the water that night, and everybody was amazed and even a little bit afraid, because a lot of people don't do that unless it's up north in Michigan in the wintertime or other place where you can walk on the water for a little while when it's frozen. But otherwise, we don't really do that, right? So when that happened and it wasn't even frozen, then that sort of scared people, his disciples, even his closest friends. But he said, don't be afraid. It's me. It's me. And so we don't need to be afraid, because it's somebody that's familiar, somebody that we know. So when he's doing these miracles in our lives, we don't need to be afraid. We just need to rejoice and celebrate and accept the blessings that he sends our way. One of the things that came up in my mind as I reflected on that this week was three questions that just kept turning around in my mind. So I'll share those with them and let them turn around in your mind as well. The first question is, if you could feed 5,000 people, would you? If you could do this or have a part in it, like this boy that brought his fish and bread, and Jesus multiplied that, or the disciples who participated by bringing that boy, or by following Christ's instructions to have everybody sit down in the groups and get ready and distribute this. If you could do that, would you? And the next question is, why? Why would you? Why would you want to help in that way? Why would you want to distribute? Why would you want to be a part of the miracle? And the third question is, why not? Why would you not want to be a part of that miracle? Why would you not want to feed 5,000? Why would you not? What reason would there be that you might not want to participate? Now, if you would like for me to answer those questions, you're out of luck, because I don't know the answers, I just know the questions. And so I've got some thoughts that have been stirring in me that sparked in me, and I will share some of the thoughts with you. But I think those are questions, those kinds of questions that the Bible challenges us to look within ourselves and find our own answer to. I can't tell you whether you would or whether you wouldn't, if you could, or why not, but be thinking about that, because here we have before us a miraculous sign. something that Jesus Christ has done that stands out in the face of history. And people have heard about this all around the world, believers and unbelievers as well. And it's a sign that some reject or some that accept. There was a movie that came out a few years ago. Jim Carrey's part in that movie kept saying, "Lord, why don't you just give me a sign?" And he was saying that. He was driving down the road, and there was a truck full of every different kind of sign you can imagine. And they were all blinking and showing the way and saying, "Go this way." And then he looked out the window and said, "I just wish the Lord would send me a sign." And there was a sign there that said, "Go this way." He said, "Well, I wish the Lord would send me a sign and tell me which way to go." And it was just on and on in several minutes of this, of just signs and signs and signs, but he kept looking for a sign. So sometimes the signs are all around us, and we just don't look at them, do we? That reminds me of sometimes when we're driving down the road, and Cheryl said, "Did you see that sign that said to get over?" And I say, "No, I didn't see it." You know? Since it happens to us as we go along, we miss a lot of the signs, but the signs are still there, whether we're seeing them or not. So we have some responsibility to see the signs, don't we, to watch for them, just like when we're driving. Certainly the sign is a miracle to the person's being fed. Whenever somebody is fed, then this is a blessing, isn't it? I always thank the Lord for my meals, and even sometimes it's already been blessed, I still like to say, "Thank you, Lord, for this food," because you can't tell by looking, but there have been times when I had to miss a meal or two and didn't know where one was coming from. And so I'm grateful every time that I have a meal, and for the ones that prepared it, and for the Lord that provided it and provided the means for that. And it's a sign to me of God's providence and of my family's love and friends and everything. It's a sign of so much every time we sit down at a meal. So when these people sat down, 5,000 or more sat down to eat, there was a great sign just of God's blessing, of their love for one another, of their concern, of this young boy's concern that he would do his part. And on and on, it's a sign for us to explore and to count our blessings. Speaking of counting, we have that song, "Count Your Many Blessings." There are several numbers that come up in this passage today. Numbers that are often interpreted in the Scripture different ways. We sort of have to be careful sometimes that we're not, when we assign the meanings to numbers, the same as when we assign it to the images of the Scripture or to the words or sentences that we read in the Scripture, that we're not applying to it something that we're trying to read into the Scripture that's not there, but rather that we're trying to read out of it what God is trying to say to us and hear what God is trying to say to us. But I always find it interesting when there are numbers involved in the passage of Scripture to think about some of the meanings that might be behind those or some of the ways that connects with other things in the Bible. So in this passage we have these biblical numbers, a number 5, 5 loaves that is often associated with the grace of God, 2 fish, often associated with the witness, the number of witnesses that it takes, as we saw when they were trying to do the mock trial with Jesus, and they were trying to come up with 2 witnesses that would agree, because out of the mouth of 2 witnesses, they accepted that as the truth, and they couldn't even get 2 witnesses to agree on what they were making, the false accusations against Jesus. So number of witness and also division. That 7, a number of spiritual perfection. If you add the 5 and 2 together, you'll get 7, according to my calculations. I'm not real good at math, but according to what I understand, you take 5 and 2 and put them together and you get 7, the number of spiritual perfection. And then there were 12 baskets left over, so 12, the number of governmental perfection. 50 for deliverance, and they sat the people down in groups of 50s and 100s, according to Mark. This actually occurs in all 4 Gospels that this describes, and one of the descriptions Mark gave was that they sat the people down. So we might think of 50 in terms of deliverance or the perfection of time. And all of this grace perfected over time. 5,000 people is a lot of people. And so it says about 5,000. So we're not talking about, the Bible's not trying to give us here hard statistics or anything. It's trying to communicate to us the love and the providence of God. But there are a lot of references to numbers through the scriptures, and we have one book, the third book of the Pentateuch, is the book of Numbers. One of the main things in that book there is sort of like the statistical report of the conference that we have every month, every year, and now that we're talking about a while ago, that we do on a weekly basis some of those statistics of the metrics and the goals that we have for increasing our attendance and professions of faith and outreach participation, number of outreach groups, and our giving to missions. Those all have to do with numbers. We can measure and you can say, here's some things that we're trying to do, and these are the numbers that reflect. We might say, well, it's not just the numbers, because it certainly is not. But behind each number is a person. So when we say we want to have more professions of faith, we want to have two professions of faith this year. That's two people coming to the knowledge of Christ to the point that they're able to stand before us and profess their faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's what that represents. Or if we want to increase we talk about increasing the Sunday school time with another, that represents another class of people who are studying another subject about the Bible, and the individuals whose lives are being blessed by that. And so likewise, when we say 5,000 people were fed here, it's the people who were fed. There were a lot of people who were fed and who were nurtured that day with the loaves and the fish, who then the next day, as we see, as we'll talk about more next Sunday, came to Jesus and heard him say that he was the bread of life, and talked to them about spiritual nutrition. Whenever the people got done eating, then they wanted to make him the king. I can relate to that. Here's somebody who could open up a whole new economic system. Don't you ever sometimes think, when they say, think outside the box, why can't we apply that sometimes to the economic systems of the world? You know, they used to have the bartering, and they really, a lot of times, you know, back in the ancient times, they didn't have coins and dollar bills and stocks and bonds and things like that. They just would do work for one another. We still do that some, don't we? But we're kind of limited as to what we, because a lot of our bills, we can't just go and trade somebody for and give them a chicken or something like that, even if we had one. We couldn't just trade like that and barter, because we have a vast monetary system, and we hope that will be a fair system that everybody participates in fairly and all, and so we have a lot of rules that go along with that to try to keep it that way. But here we have another economy, and it's not a new, even at the feeding of the 5,000, but it's the economy of divine providence. Jehovah Jireh is my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. And we see that happening for 40 years as the children of Israel traveled through the desert, and all of their needs were provided. They had manna every day, they had quail, and they had water when they needed it. And so the Lord provided for them along the way, and other provisions that he made. We see really down through the history of the scriptures and of the people of God, God taking care of his people, providing for them. And that's one of the things that we celebrate in our metrics when we celebrate that our offering on Sunday morning and the tithes and offering that God is providing for our church, for the mission and ministry of our church and the work of his kingdom in this community. Whether it be by work that we do for the church under the barter system, maybe, because we do that work in addition to particular amounts of money or whatnot, then the church doesn't have to pay those costs out. Or we come and bring our tithes and offerings to the church, and so that becomes a part of the monetary system. But also in the blessings and the way that God multiplies those tithes and offerings and those works of love and labor, and that in ways that he provides in ways that we couldn't even begin to imagine. We can't just imagine that, you know, these people didn't come to hear Jesus and with the thought in mind, maybe he'll feed all of us with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That wasn't even something that could enter their mind. And how many other things? It can't enter our mind this morning, but there are ways that God has already have in his mind to take care of you and me and our neighbors and friends and family. So as we see this passage of Scripture, Jesus said, they don't need to depart, you can feed them. They don't have to send them off someplace, you can feed them. And there's many applications we can make on that and take all of these applications and say that Jesus says that to us today. We don't have to just tell somebody to go somewhere else and look for their spiritual food. Don't need to tell somebody that they can't find it here. You can do this. There's something in this that you can be a part of. And maybe you only have the equivalent of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Maybe we only have, as a whole church, not enough resources to do all that God challenges us to do. But that was the situation in this passage, wasn't it? And Jesus multiplied what was brought to him. There's a song that said, if just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. And he takes that cup and multiplies it into many ways that we can't begin to imagine. And not only is there enough, but there's plenty left over. And so as we consider this, we think about the teachings of Jesus Christ and how they are food for our soul. This is food for our soul, isn't it? Just to reflect on the miracles of this day. The feeding of the 5,000, the walking on the water, the ways that Jesus nurtures us. And then next week, we'll look at what happened the next day as the people followed him around to the other side and wanted him to be their king because they had witnessed this miracle and been a part and been blessed by the economy of God's providence. If you could feed 5,000 people, would you? Why? Or why not? In the name of Jesus, amen.